Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions.
If you are listening to the show and wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
The paranormal, ghosts, spirits,
demons,
reincarnation,
past lives,
the afterlife,
divination,
exorcisms,
witchcraft,
the unseen.
He's psychic medium Chris George.
And he's Victor the Voice Furman.
We are Second Sight Radio. Join us live
every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Truth is reality. The connection is you. Check out Catherine Buckley on Truth Connections Radio, Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 107.7 FM, the Paranormal Radio Network.
Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Monday.
And I'm going to be so confused now all week because
I know.
The weekend tonight.
And then the time change. And
oh, don't. That was so funny. Last show, I had no idea that, you know, you over the water changed your clocks one way or the other. So I set my alarm for quite late because I thought, well, Joe never rings me till about 2:15. So I'll wake up at 2:15, Really, I should have been at 1:45.
was that the last show?
Yeah. By the time you and Jason were already like an hour and 20 minutes into the show, and I've been asleep.
Yeah, we just rambled.
Time dilation.
We just rambled for 2 hours.
Yeah, it did well.
Kind of what we're going to do tonight.
Yeah, pretty much. I've had such a crazy time of it. Everything's getting on my nerves, and you know, I go on Facebook and I can be in a bad mood for a week. You know what I mean? Just from one stupid comment.
Oh, I know. Sometimes I let that stuff just eat at me for a while, and I actually got off of Facebook for a while. I just kind of, you know, rebelled. I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it's just.
I know. I see a lot of the same stuff. It's all the same. And over the years, because like I've been on Facebook now since 2007, you see the same stuff rolling by, you know. But then you see things like Fukushima and all that, that were all big news, and it was the big rave. And now nobody's bothered. No one's talking about it. Well, that's not true. There's a few people talking about it. You know, all the oil leaks and things like that. That's all, la la la. That's all gone, swept away. They're calling everybody else sheeple, but they get swept along with it themselves. And it's just sick of it. But my new pet hate, well, it's not even new, is this super soldier thing.
Yeah, I mean, my Facebook feed used to just depress the hell out of me. Yeah. That's so bad, like I wouldn't look at it before work or whatever. Because it was just all these conspiracy people. And, you know, they're just so full of crap. And, you know, a lot of them are just like parrots. They just repeat what they hear. They don't even do any type of anything, any research or anything. They just share it and go, see.
They'll jump on the conversation that you're having that, you know, I've started, say, for example, and they jump in and they start barking at me the facts. And then I go, well, go on then, tell me. And then they post somebody else's YouTube video and tell me to watch that. It's like, oh, come on. No, I want to know what you think.
Yeah, folks, if you know, you want to prove a point, it's not some YouTube video. You know, if that doesn't count as research, I'm sorry.
No, especially not when the title's got Illuminati, but whatever. Oh, God, you know all the stuff. The usual. All the taglines in one thing, because it's all connected.
Listen, you know, I was, it's funny that we're going to be talking about super soldiers, because I watched Frankenstein's Army yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that?
I saw it the other night. I was fascinated. I wanted to know what kind of strange thing was coming.
Is that like
next?
The most, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the Return to Castle Wolfenstein video games, where you're just walking through these places and these like,
half man, half sheep. What does it mean?
Yeah, and they're like all rotting, and they're made out of like car parts, and it was brilliant. And people believe that stuff went on, and they believe it's going on now.
That is happening in the moon now.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, it was the same with the Matrix and the movie Stargate. It started these whole movements of people. You know, it started whole belief systems. You know, and they're like talking about this Stargate and that Stargate, and you know, everything's just a big hologram, you know, and all this stuff. That I'm just like, what? It was a movie. You're ruining it.
You're thinking. Stop.
anybody can get on, if you're on Netflix, it's on Netflix, it's called Frankenstein's Army. I think it's made by this German guy. He had, he tried to get a movie off the ground about 6 years ago called, worst case scenario, which is about Nazi zombies and that sort of thing. And he had a couple homemade trailers that were totally awesome on the net floating around. And he just, every time he would find funding or producer or the studio had got a business or some crap, or, you know, he just couldn't get it going. This is about a bunch of Russians, a Russian reconnaissance team. And, I mean, it's pretty low budget. The acting's pretty bad. They go to this village. They're looking for some Russians that are trapped there. And, of course, they get trapped there by these abominations that these super soldiers, basically Dr. Frankenstein, is making out of corpses.
It's and, like, Dr. Moreau's metal workshop.
Yeah, man, and it's there's some pretty crazy creations, man. I mean, just nutty crap. And,
yeah.
I was thinking about this, and I'm like, you just wait. In a couple of months,
eclipse happens when the moon first travels through the Earth's shadow, making the moon seem darker due to an area of partial solar light. Then when the moon moves...
Well, that was transhumanism at its best. That was I can say. Giant welding mask with crab arms or whatever it was.
Yeah, and it was kind of mean-spirited too, you know?
Yeah.
People you think that weren't going to get killed, you know, got slaughtered in a few minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they kill kids. It's pretty awesome. I had a big smile on my face the whole time watching it. If you like the movie Iron Sky, I don't know if you saw that. It's about Nazis on the moon.
I can't remember.
And they have this whole base and everything up there. And, you know, that movie was real shaky the first 25 minutes or whatever. I almost turned it off. But it actually got pretty good. Lots of satire and stuff like that. And it's in the same vein as that. No way can you take it serious. You know, it's just a lot of goofy fun.
But, though, I mean, you know, well, I've never come across one who's been all right. You know, okay, we can make me worth all them being messed in the head. Or whatever, you know, because let's face it, some of these programs have gone on in the past. You know, Jedi thing that, what's his name, Alexander, J.B. Alexander was doing. They've tried these things. Now I know that, you know, some of the stuff that I was doing for with my Rendlesham research came across things like biosensors, which were olfactory systems which are supposed to enhance smell so that a human, you could implant this in your face and you would be able to smell if so you were working on a radiation, you know, in a nuclear base or whatever, it would trigger some sort of sense and you would know that there'd be a leak of whatever, or you'd be able to smell gas 10 million times better than you would be able to just normally. And that was in the 70s that they were working on that. So I know that these things have been going on.
Oh, sure. Sure, and they've all failed miserably.
Exactly.
For the simple reason that, you know, listen, this was the Cold War, and the Russian government and the United States government and the British government would do anything and try anything to get a leg up on the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they had in the 60s or in the 50s and 60s, they started with the behavioral stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which they didn't know jack about the brain, you know, literally didn't know anything about the brain. Didn't know how it worked, didn't know what, you know, they were looking at for very specific things.
Yeah.
You know, how to control someone's mind and make them do your bidding and be able to shut them on and off.
Oh, on the Monarch program, they discerned that there were four distinct personality types, and these could be identified at a very, very early age, you know, in infancy, so that they would know which personality type each child that they'd taken was going to be, and would, you know, sort of like best sort of give them the best of the things that they will be
better at
anyway. So if one was going to be artistic or musical or whatever, that they would, you know, take them in that direction, give them all the love and the, you know, and all that lot, then take it away, split the personality, blah blah blah. So you've got all these, you've got these four distinct personality types that they are malleable and they are there and they're using them from birth. Now, the people that I'm coming across, right, who are talking about cloning and all this kind of stuff, they're all so mental, right? Why on earth would anybody on this planet want to clone somebody like that? Do you know what I'm saying? The cloning is, I heard Donald Marshall, I saw this conversation going on, and he's one of the super soldiers, saying, and he said, women don't go for your pap tests, or smear tests as we call them in England, because they can clone you from those cells better, apparently. I was like, apparently. Now, if I said something like that, I said, and here's why, and here's how, and here's the science, and this is blah, right? Not apparently. So it's like, oh, you women, don't go and have that life-saving test because you might get cloned. Like,
hey, he's an idiot.
Like, we all, you know, we used to burn women at the stake. Now we've got people like that walking about. I told him, I said, right, it's dangerous and it's rubbish and it's pointless even worrying about, because every single person in the Western world from, I think, about 1950s or 60s has had a heel prick test at birth, where they squeezed fresh blood from the baby's foot within 3 days of birth, where it's still got some of the mother's blood, the placental blood, and everything going on. It's allegedly testing for various diseases like sickle cell. Now, it's put onto a little card, and it's sent off to God knows where, to God knows who. No one ever questions it. No one ever says, oh, what's that about? Oh, it's just for this. You know, okay, fine. You know, you're so busy with all the other stuff because she's got a baby. You don't even
United States was doing that too.
So, you know, if, you know, I'm reading things like we can clone a mouse from a single drop of blood, we don't need to worry about any hair, nails, bits of tissue, bodily fluids, or swabs from anywhere, because at birth, you've already been, your blood's already been logged somewhere. And you know, I'm not saying there definitely is nefarious that's going on there, but you don't know, you know?
No, there is a DNA bank. I read something, and it's very discreet, and hospitals, it was a law that was signed. It was like, I don't know if it was an executive order, I don't know if it was a new Congress or whatever, but it's been going on for a while. And I know that George Bush extended it. And what it does is that every time a baby is born or whatever, at any hospital, a DNA sample was taken and sent off somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the whole, I don't know, you know, the whole.
That's not supposed to be happening here. But, you know, it's like, they will grab it at any opportunity. Like, my son was walking home one night, and he was a apprentice electrician at the time. He'd been to his friend's house to fix a light switch. It, you know, is his friend's dad's house, who was a headmaster of, you know, a large school. So he'd gone around there, fixed the light, walking home, got grabbed by the police, taken to the police station because he had a screwdriver, a pair of pliers in his pocket. So they phoned me at midnight to tell me that they had him. He's only 16 years old. I have to go collect him. It's midnight. So I had to drive, like, I don't know, about 15 miles to the police station where he was. And, you know, the situation had been explained by Mike, who was the headmaster, explained by me, explained by the guy who had given him the apprenticeship. And so there were no charges. There was nothing, nothing, nothing. And they took his DNA. And I was going mad at them. And they actually threatened to arrest me for the carry-on that I was making. I said, he's done nothing wrong. He's had no charges, nothing against him whatsoever. And they still took his DNA. And I was threatened with arrest for kicking off about it. That's how they do it here.
They'll do that in a lot of cases now in the United States. That's how they it's kept a lot of people out of jail. Well, they will, if you're arrested for a certain types of crime, they automatically take a DNA sample and it goes in a database.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there have been guys that been falsely arrested and imprisoned, and all of a sudden the DNA, you know, the testing comes into play later on and are like, boop, oh, we got the wrong guy. We just got a hit in the database.
There's been a lot of that, yeah.
Of somebody in Wisconsin, you know, who just got busted for rape or whatever.
Mm.
You know, and they, so it's very helpful. I don't understand why that's a big deal. I mean, they can, I don't know, maybe you have reservations about it. I really don't. I see it as...
No, I understand why. And I know they've caught criminals as well. There was one recently, I'm not sure if it was in the States or in England, where they traced a rapist or murderer because they'd taken his son's DNA. And it was almost, you know, a match to another crime. So they actually found the perpetrator of another crime through a family member. I get that. I just don't understand why, even though he'd done absolutely nothing wrong, he was, by law, had to give his DNA, and I would have been arrested for carrying on about, you know, if he'd done nothing wrong, why do you need his DNA? You know, but they took it anyway. By law, they can do that. If he was 16, and you can apply to have it taken off the register, but, you know, what's the point in that? He's not a criminal, but, you know, and that's the thing, isn't it? He's not a bloody criminal. No, he's on the criminal database.
He's not on the criminal database. He's just in the DNA database as someone who was arrested.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the whole process of, like, being, you know, processed when you're arrested, whether you get your fingerprints and they take a swab.
Yeah, I've just had one done this week, actually, because of my daughter. She was assaulted on the stairs last Wednesday. And so we had to all give our DNA because all our clothes are washed with her clothes. So I've had one of them. And they said, this is just for elimination purposes, will be destroyed afterwards, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, don't really matter if I'm not going to go out start raping anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and if the police have all this database of DNA, you know, what do they need people like Donald Marsh and James Temple?
It should be just one database that they all share, like Interpol and Scotland Yard and all that.
Mm.
You know, it could, and you know, United States has their own database. I don't know about Canada or Mexico or any of that, but I know they do that. They've been doing it for a while.
Mm.
You know, it's another form of a fingerprint. That's the way they look at it.
Yeah.
You know. It's just at the microscopic level, I guess.
Yeah. So all this paranoia about being cloned from bits of stuff that you're dropping around all over the place now at the age of 40-odd, it's just pointless worry, isn't it?
You know, you just got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Exactly.
And, you know, they have to clone you from specific cells if they were to clone you, or they were to do organ repair or spinal cord repair. It has to be, you know, stem cells.
Uh-huh.
And depending on what it is, it's got to be a certain type of stem cells. And it's, trust me, it's not an exact science.
Yeah, you know, yeah, about all these, like, maturation tanks with all these, like, people in them that have all been cloned from Joe Blogs or whatever, you know, anybody in the street, basically. What they would do is they would choose the most malleable personality type, you know, or work on that, you know. Oh, man, they're just too ridiculous to be a good choice for these things, you know what I mean? Why would you clone Unstable Mabel?
Yeah, and do you have any idea how expensive a program like that would be?
God, can't even
how big the it would be in the trillions. And plus you'd have to store them. And since you're cloning them, you're probably growing them outside of a womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you're not, then you've got all these pregnant women that you have to keep quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a whole I'm sitting here thinking about the just the logistics of doing all that. And that's what I keep saying to all these idiots. They're either idiots or they're mentally ill.
Yeah.
You know? And
I would go for the mentally ill one on that one, because when I pointed out the heel prick test to this guy, he said he was going to give me his address so I could go to his house in America for him to break my neck.
And he what?
He said, and I'll give you my address so you can come here and I'll break your neck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm on my way. Just give
that's
me
when he got him on the ropes. Because they got nothing. They
pull your step, like, yeah, well, I'll believe you, yeah.
Yeah, man, and that's what I tell them. I say, dude, you got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
If you only knew, well, you don't either.
This is it. Nobody knows. But they all got on this other guy who's got a fake and a genuine list. Right. Now, I know for a fact that you have to talk to somebody for a long time and give them a lot of talking time for them to trip themselves up enough for you to have alarm bells ringing. And then even more so for you to find the inconsistencies and probably find the truth, you know, and know that they're lying or whatever. So, you know, and you can't just go, oh, no, he's a fake on Facebook. Just
yeah,
you
the Facebook
Facebook
comment.
Genius. Really scientific, that.
Yeah, it's like, dude, man, we're on Facebook on a comment session section, and you are, you know, telling the greatest secrets in the world, secrets that would, you know, you and your family and everything would disappear if they were really happening.
As if they'd even get to say a word. Never mind, we're running around. I mean, there's one we've got in England, James Casbolt. He's just wrong. I don't know where he's come from, really, but this phenomena of him started a long time ago. He was supposed to have worked for MI5 or 6 as a drug runner, however many years ago. I think somebody worked it out. It'd have been about 11. You know, just Walter Mitty. And he's got, over the years, he's got more and more bizarre. I remember talking to him. God, it must be 2006 now. And he's telling me about being outside this shop where all these Egyptian mummies were dancing in the street. All the shutters on the windows were banging up and down. And the police were all just stood around watching it. And I'm like, right, okay. And now he's gone from that to being the most vitriolic, venomous snake that you could ever imagine. He's attacking women left, right and center, trying to destroy everything that he touches. And there's people promoting him, doing videos, supporting him. And then, you know, there's women being literally attacked and suffering mentally from it. Because he picks on vulnerable women. And, you know, and they've gone to Miles, who's producing these videos of him, and saying he's threatening me, he's harassing me, and it's making me ill. You know, it's not just me, it's lots of women, and we're going to go to the police. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, that it's pointless going to the police, all in on it. What?
Nefarious.
And he's going on about like handlers and altars and all this lot. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking at this, and this is somebody that I care about and know personally and is a friend. And I'm looking at what he's saying, and I'm thinking, well, you're the one who sounds like you've got a handler. Do you know what I mean? Don't go to the police, you know, don't worry about it, put up, shut up. You know, I'm bemused, and he's promoting transhumanism constantly and saying things like, we are the last humans. And, you know, like this is going to be available for all, like, they're going to round us all up in these so-called FEMA camps that we don't even have in England. And, you know, do all this. Why waste money? Where does it, for what purpose?
Who's going to round us up?
Nobody. It's all bullshit.
I mean, who's he saying is going to round us up?
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea. This group, this secret group that run the world, you know.
Listen, they would have, no American, just speak from America, no American soldier would go out and round up other Americans and put them in camps. They wouldn't do it. It's just not going to happen. They would have to have their own private army of jackboots.
Well,
and listen, everybody and their dog's got a gun
soldiers,
here.
But this is who they're saying that they are. And they say these people are the ones that are saying that they do the mine labs, they perform from the mine labs. They are the soldiers who take, they abduct people. You know, I've had my experiences. So, you know, these people saying that they do this as well, you know. So there's just so many things that the soldiers do.
Abducting one person or 10 people is a lot different than rounding up millions of people and putting them in camps. You have to remember, every guy...
Stick eyeballs and ears and... nostrils and super limbs and what?
Yeah, it's like every other person in this country has a gun. And if a bunch of, you know, if that sort of thing started happening, there'd be a lot of dead people, a lot of dead soldiers. Nothing like that could really happen here. A lot of people who... You know, like Alex Jones, you have all these guys running around, really fat, little dicks, or they don't work, bald, you know, just talking tough. They would make you think that, you know, the country's on the verge of collapse and, you know, you better be ready, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's just, and people are like, oh, my God.
Be a pawn.
You know, and they believed it.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they're giving money to these guys for stuff. And, you know, it's a whole racket. Alex Jones, his whole thing is a racket. We can go and you can buy all this crap.
No,
you know, and he's overcharging you for it. You know, there's a built-in audience for that. Just like the wacko UFO people, there's wacko conspiracy people. And there's nothing you can say... that will change our minds. You could show them actual data. You could show them physical proof. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're not going to change. It's a fundamentalist view of the world, and it's just out of fear and distrust.
Well, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to fool someone than it is to convince them that they've been fooled.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, just common sense, a bit of logical thinking for yourself, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, people keep saying they keep going down the rabbit hole. I'm watching and looking at where they're going, but you know, where this rabbit hole's taking you, because you seem to have gone from the start to the finish. In the middle is just a whole load of fuzzy logic wrapped as fact posted on my page as a YouTube video for me to digest and awaken and enlighten myself.
Yeah, listen, the civilian government cannot keep secrets. They can't. Stuff's going to leak eventually, you know. So any of these things that people are talking about that the government is doing would have already been out there in the wild.
I think it's quite cool for the government, though, because they've almost replaced God, haven't they? Like, Whereas, you know, it was God's will. Now it's like it's the Illuminati. It's the government. They're into everything. They control everything. It's like, oh my God, they're in such a mess. There's no way. There's no way that they could juggle that many things.
It depends on which country you live in, who has more control. You know, in a capitalistic society like the United States, you know, it's the corporations with the big money, and they're able to lobby congressmen and people and stuff like that. I was just reading a thing today about Intuit, the people who do TurboTax software. They're going behind in real kind of scumbag ways, asking like Jewish leaders and you know, leaders of Asian communities and people who have a lot of clout, like in a, like an op-ed opinion in a paper. They're going around saying how bad filing for free for your federal income tax, how bad it is for America. And they come up with all these very convincing points and everything. And then they realize the Intuit's behind it, people who make this TurboTax software, and they're writing letters to Congress and stuff like that saying, well, this is going to
www.theuforeport.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
The paranormal.
Ghosts.
Spirits.
Demons.
Reincarnation.
Past lives.
The afterlife.
Divination.
Exorcisms.
Witchcraft.
The unseen.
He's psychic medium Chris George.
And he's Victor the Voice Furman.
We are Second Sight Radio. Join us live
every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Truth is reality. The connection is you. Check out Catherine Buckley on Truth Connections Radio, Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 107.7 FM, the Paranormal Radio Network.
Mind Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
You don't go somewhere and have all this stuff. It's all real. And what's in my eyes coming out. And all these other people going and having the same thing. And we'd be like, so, wait a minute. We're going to have to kill them all. You know.
Yeah, the advances in neuroscience are really exciting. It's a lot of like the advances in physics. You know what I'm saying? They've kind of broken through some barriers. And through electroshock therapy, they have actually kickstarted the spine in paralyzed people.
Yeah.
And this was just something I read the other day. And all of a sudden, they can go to the bathroom on their own. They can have sex. They can move their stuff around. You know, I don't know about walking because, you know, you have to go through all sorts of therapies to get all your joints and all that so you can walk. You know, that's why they exercise people who are in a coma.
Yeah. Well, they've even had some sex in. So sex. In repairing spinal columns, haven't they?
What was that?
They've had some success with actually repairing spinal columns. Knitting them together, regrowing the bits that are broken.
Yeah, with the stem cells.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, all the religious people think that's very bad because of where they're getting the stem cells, you know, aborted fetuses and that sort of thing. And now they're finding that they don't need to
You don't even need to do that, do
you? Get it from them. You can get it from the same person.
You can donate your own stem cells.
And trick them into working in another area. Mm. Like, you know, the stem cells that maybe, are basically for kidneys only or whatever, they can be tricked or manipulated to now work on the spine.
Yeah.
Or fix, you know, debilitating arthritis. Stuff like that. So, you know, it's just, it's incredible the stuff that they are coming up with. You know,
and that in its own way is, especially with the implants to manipulate body parts that are no longer there, etc.
Yeah, they have that now.
This is transhumanism.
But yeah, they have that for artificial limbs now.
Yeah.
It's expensive. But it's actually, attached to your nervous system and to your brain. And when you think about it, you know, you're the freaking bionic man.
Going RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean, that's a reality now.
Yeah.
And there's a condition, a rare condition, some women are born without a vagina.
Yep.
And they can now grow a vagina.
If I have any more kids, I'm going to ask them to grow me another one.
And yeah, just trading it in, you know, getting a newer, sportier model. This one's a little long in the tooth. A couple of wizard sleeves.
It's my favorite saying, that one. Terrible.
But no, man, they implant them in to the woman, and, you know, within a few, I don't know how long, but all of them now that were in the trial have normal pain-free sex. You know, anything that a normal vagina can do, they can do.
Not a lot, then.
Nice restaurant, beautiful.
But you know, this is where it all ties back into the super soldiers as well, because all this stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like attaching it all to what they're saying to sort of give it some kind of scientific validity. But, you know, when you look at the sort of person that's threatening to break people's necks and, you know, stuff like that, it's like, you know, they don't want any more than one of you.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to one guy, and I had just, it was about the Sandy Hook shootings. And, you know, after about 4 or 5 comments, you know, he was out of ammunition. He had nothing. And, started saying I was a disinfo agent, CIA, and then he goes, and then I tore him down some more, and then he's like, my brother owns an MMA studio, and I'm like, yeah, and then he posts a picture of it, you know, where mixed martial arts people go and train.
Yeah.
I said, hey, man, that's great. He's like, you better watch out, and I'm like, why?
Yeah,
because I'm going to have my brother kick your ass.
I'm going to have my brother.
If you were listening to the show and wish to join us in the chat,
I'm like, no, you're not. He's going to laugh at you. This guy on the internet made me feel bad. Can you fly 1,000 miles and risk your business and your family and everything and
your reputation?
Yeah,
and your freedom.
You know who's going to be probably met at the door with a Ruger 9mm, so I don't care how good of a kickboxer he is. You know, he rings my doorbell, open the door and try some of that with me. I'm going to put a hole in him. And then I'm going to take a picture and post in that comment section and say, see?
Next.
Okay, next victim.
And on that note, we'll go for a break.
Pretty funny. All right. We are going to be going for 10 minutes here. It's 6 o'clock already. I'm like, well, for me, it's 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And so we'll be back in 10 minutes. And everybody go pee, go get something to eat, do whatever. We'll be back. Yeah. See you in a few.
Bye-bye.
And wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
The paranormal,
ghosts,
spirits,
demons,
reincarnation,
past lives,
the afterlife,
divination,
exorcisms,
witchcraft,
the unseen.
He's psychic medium Chris George.
And he's Victor the Voice Furman.
We are Second Sight Radio. Join us live
every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Truth is reality. The connection is you. Check out Catherine Buckley on Truth Connections Radio, Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 107.7 FM, the Paranormal Radio Network.
Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's our big spring clearance at American Furniture Warehouse. It's all right here at Today's AFW. At American, we have the best selection and lowest everyday prices on in-stock furniture and accessories guaranteed. You don't have to pay mall store prices this spring.
Calling it the future of marijuana in Colorado. No long lines, no salesperson needed.
You can get your pot right out of a machine. Tonight, some marijuana entrepreneurs in Eagle County unveiling a high-tech piece of equipment for our cameras. It's a story you'll see only on Fox 31 Denver.
Hey, okay, hang on.
A special delivery tonight at Montana Smokehouse Barbecue up in Avon. Not the bubblegum and candy you find in most restaurant vending machines. This one is distinctly Colorado.
The future is outside, and we're pretty excited about it.
Stefan Sheeran's company, American Green, delivering the Zazz. It's the state's first marijuana edibles vending machine.
Many people could look at this and say, well, it's a vending machine, and they'd be partially right, but mostly wrong.
That's for sure. The machine will soon be stocked with goods from Herbal Elements in nearby Eagle Vale. They'll fill it with some of their most popular products.
We're looking forward to using the Zazz machine to easily track all this inventory. We're going to eliminate the middleman. The inventory can go directly from the wholesaler, the courier, to our bud tender, right into the machine. There's no room for theft by patients, by employees. There's no way to lose track of the inventory.
But just so you know, buying a pot brownie won't be as easy as sticking in a few quarters for a Snickers bar. You'll have to have a medical marijuana card, and your ID will have to have been verified before you can get anything out. And for now, the machine is just on display to help get the word out.
Nothing will be sold out of the machine until we're 100% confident that all rules and compliance are being followed.
But these guys are convinced they are about to revolutionize their industry with this green machine.
I don't think we've dreamed what it can do yet. That's the whole point. You start with this, and you start making your way into the future. I think this is a great starting place, and we're excited about it.
Now, to reiterate, this machine is only for medical marijuana patients. The folks behind the machine say the Zazz is perfect because they can fit a lot of product into a small space, and it'll make it easy to track their inventory and comply with state law. And they hope to have several of these machines in place soon.
Interesting.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Citizen Sane, to the second hour. I'm Guy Weddle with our illustrious Sasha Christie across the pond.
Yeah. I was quite liking the sound of the vending machine. But I thought, isn't that a little bit dodgy, you know, because when you get stoned, you get the munchies and you're at a vending machine. Not going to be good.
Yeah, listen, it's medical marijuana.
A pile of bodies in front of
it's me. Just a stepping stone to, legalization in a state. You know, they have dispensaries and stuff like that you have to go to. You got to show your card.
Yeah.
And now they're, capitalism at its finest, man. You know, these states are raking it in.
I said years ago, it's going to happen. I read a study that the New York Police Department had done on the cost of controlling sale and distribution of people dealing marijuana, how much it costs them to police it, against how much they would net if they controlled it. And it was something like $10 million a year just for cannabis alone to police. $16 million a year to sell and control. So the $6 million up, well, that was a lame estimate because I think we underestimate how many people actually smoke weed.
Yeah, Colorado already.
Big Colorado.
Colorado's already making tons of revenue from it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's more profitable for them. They don't even have to go into the paper industry. They just go into the, pothead industry and Bob's your uncle. You know? So now we've got chocolate vending machines. Oh, dear, no, that's naughty.
Yeah, listen, in Japan, you've been able to buy beer out of vending machines for years.
How very grown up.
And other types of alcohol, people are going to start tons of businesses off of this stuff, and I say good for them.
Yeah.
Government can tax them. I don't smoke weed. Kills my lungs, makes me stupider than I am now. I go from dumb to dumber. And, I eat a lot of Doritos.
Maybe you could get a load of...
I'm completely worthless.
Doritos now and get off your face.
I know people that can smoke pot and... do calculus and completely high functioning people, I just can't do it. I smoked that stuff, man, and I'm just like, literally, I turned into Beavis and Butthead.
You're just not very good at it.
I get paranoid and, I don't want to be around people.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that anyway.
Yeah, I know. Just tons of people, corporate people, directors and vice presidents that smoke weed.
What kind of stuff?
Like, whatever, man. I'm the long hair. We're out getting drinks or whatever, or some occasion, and never fails. Some manager, hey man, you get me some weed, and I'm like. Dude, I wouldn't even know where to start to get you some fucking weed.
You just have to look.
You're like, keep this on the down low, man. I said, well, no shit. In 30 years, they'll be selling heroin out of there and, whatever. Wouldn't surprise
me. No, it won't surprise me. I think, I don't know. I don't know. Legalize everything. Film it all.
Yeah, we had there's a guy.
We could have the best big brother ever because we could put a load of people in our house with a load of drugs instead of alcohol and see what happens. I bet it's a completely different show.
Listen, man, they had a painkiller epidemic here in the United States for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with like Adderall and stuff like that. And what they the government did with these pharmaceutical companies is they cut everybody off. You know, they introduced strict guidelines for who could get this stuff. They closed all the pill mills, you know, people that would just prescribe anything. You know, and you cut a nation of millions of people who were addicted to these painkillers. Now they're all going to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Because heroin is actually easier to get than prescription meds.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, when I had my diagnosis of ADHD, and my psychiatrist described me, I can't remember what they were called now, Elvant, I think. They're basically an amphetamine. And I was having a hell of a job getting any chemist to prescribe it. And I said, no, if I was a junkie, I wouldn't be paying £100 a prescription. I'd go out there and I'd buy like 3 ounces in about 10 minutes. You know what I mean? It's easier to go buy this illegally than it is to get it on prescription. I didn't say, give me that. You know what I mean? If I wanted to trick a doctor into giving me something to get me off my face, it wouldn't cost me £100 a month. And a trip to 15 chemists who were all looking like at me like, you know, I was like the worst kind of whore in the world. It was unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, it used to be you can pretty much just tell your doctor, I want this.
Yeah.
You know, they give it to you.
Yeah.
Especially back in the 80s. Jesus Christ. 80s was insane.
Well, I was a bit young in the 80s, so kind of about mid-80s, you know, started going out and being a bit naughty, but it was the 90s that sucked me into bedlam.
Yeah, the 90s were pretty full of quite a bit of debauchery.
Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing with Adderall. They, I've been taking that for years, and they, you know, it was the thing, all the college kids and we're taking it for exams and, you know, now suddenly the whole world's got ADD and all that stuff. And, they just cut the supplies off, for a couple months. And, you know, it was a pain in the ass. People were like flipping out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I can see, them doing that.
They're just telling you in the first place, hey, this is good for you.
Yeah.
Take this. Sorry, it's addictive. So we're going to have to take it back. Why didn't you figure that out in the first place? Are you asking me if I even care?
Yeah, they just approved a painkiller here in the States that is way more powerful than OxyContin. Way more powerful. And there's all these people lobbying to get every vote. You know, they're like, you're going to have a whole new wave of addicts. And, you know, the government's got to look at this company put 10 years of money and R&D and all this stuff into this. They should be allowed to make their money back, you know, at the expense of, you know, other people.
Mm. You see, they drive you mad in the first place, don't they? They have little hiccups with the banks and take you home away and lose your job, and then you go on benefits. And if you live in this country and you're going on benefits, you have the government calling you scum and saying, we are wasting $121 billion paying rent on social housing. They own the social housing. Stop paying yourself $121 billion for a start. And it's because of all you scum on benefits. It's like, actually, half of us are here because you just put us here. Oh, I think I'm laughing at everything and shout at the wrong stuff, you know.
Yeah, nobody cares.
No.
Nobody's going to do anything about it. I mean, they don't have the money. They don't have the lobbyists or whatever, and nobody cares. You know, if it doesn't directly affect them, then, you know, it has no bearing on their life. People don't get mortified about things anymore. Like, oh, my God, that's so terrible. We got to do something about it. And then actually do something about it.
Yeah. I know. We'll just click like on this picture and that'll sort it out on Facebook.
Yeah. That'll, I'm doing my part. I shared this picture.
I support this idea.
Yeah.
With a free click.
Who cares? You didn't have to do anything.
Clicktivism.
You know, back on the topic of, you know, like super soldiers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Believe me, they tried all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Through hypnosis and just, you name it, they tried it. You know?
Yep.
And the thing is, they didn't know dick about the brain. You know what I mean? You can't pump a person full of drugs and into an automaton. I mean, you can beat somebody to where they will beat the humanity out of them, and then they turn them loose. That works, but it, you know, the switch is always on. It's, you know, that's what Japan, that's what Japan did to their soldiers. That's why they did the things that they did in
World War. In Korea, don't they? North Korea, they like completely brainwashed into. It's like
on
a different level, but it's all about the government and doing things for the government. And I watched some program on it the other day, and they had these Korean students that had come over here, and they were like, "So what do you do on a night?" And like, "We study." Like, do you not go out and have a bit of like? No.
No, they didn't do anything.
No.
In fact, most of them don't even have electricity at night.
I know, that's so crazy.
You know, all the hospitals are empty and barren, and there's nothing there. All of their army and their military, most of their stuff is from World War II and Korea. You know, they don't really have anything new.
Maybe they don't need it. Maybe they have all the super soldiers and they can just pick you up with their mind powers and shake you like a doll.
I mean, they do collective punishment. If your cousin, second cousin, says something derogatory or didn't mourn properly or, you know, or whatever, some stupid thing they made up.
Yeah.
Not only do they take him, they take his family, his neighbors, you know, people from the surrounding area. They gather them all up, and they put them in camps. And their major export is salt. So they're in salt mines, stuff like that.
Well, that's nice.
They don't have to pay them, or, you know, they just work until they die. But that's what that is. I mean, that's you could program people that way.
Yeah.
But they're not. It doesn't always work. And
the CIA were working on some groovy. Well, LSD. Well, said not LSD as such, but tryptamine, because we have 126 of them in our body naturally, and so they were, you know, reproducing them synthetically and overdosing people on, you know, an isolated tryptamine. So when you take LSD, you take 100 and however many it is in there, but they were isolating and giving them one and seeing, you know, if it would produce rage or lust or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they sort of like came at it at a reverse angle, didn't they? So understanding the brain by wrecking it first.
Yeah, so, and you can't control people while they're on that.
No.
Maybe in small doses, maybe you can, you know, do suggestions and stuff like that that will only last while the person's high. But I've done LSD before, and it sucked.
Oh, I mean, I've done it, and I loved it.
Sucked.
I don't think I'm there now.
You're not in control. You know, everything you see and hear messes with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's just not an enjoyable experience. There's a lot, I know a lot of people that that like it, you know, and you can't control people when they're on that stuff.
No, you can easily have them freak out, for sure.
Yeah, and they'll murder everybody except for the maybe the one you wanted them to kill or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, listen, all of these programs, remote viewing, even though there are a very few people who can do it, it's a proven ability.
Yeah.
But all these government things that they did during the Cold War were failures.
And a lot of propaganda to fight on the other side. And
yeah. Whatnot. And believe me, the Soviet Union were doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the poor subjects that were involved in this, I can just imagine, you know, what they went through.
Well, the Russians were worse. The Russians, you know, that film that we're talking about, Frankenstein's Army, that was pretty much kind of what was going on over there.
Sure, man.
In the book, Magicians of the Dawn, or Dawn of the Magicians, sorry. And it's, you know, like hybridizing by, you know, having two halves of an animal and throwing them together and, you know, all kinds of weird shit like that.
They were successful. That scientist, he would sew a dog's head on another dog.
Yeah.
And the other head would live for a while.
Yeah.
You know, or they'd sew a monkey's head on a cat and it would still be alive. You know, but back then they really couldn't tell how alive. It couldn't walk or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just laying there suffering. And, yeah, man, they used to do all sorts of experiments like that. And, I know in the 50s, I think it was when the guy was doing the experiment with animals. And, he was either German or Russian, but it was in Russia. And, you know, he would do that stuff, and they would live for a little while. You know, it was just a matter of keeping blood going through the brain, that sort of thing. And I don't remember exactly how he did it, but, you know, you completely ruin the subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're worthless after you do it. But
there's the other studies. I can never remember what it's called. The prison study in the college where it proves that the person becomes the uniform, which is really handy in military situations, especially in jobs that are not particularly productive, like, you know, physical security, etc. They work on the psyche, using the uniform to deeply embed the importance of their role, because really, you know, if you're just guarding a gate, it's not a very productive thing most of the time, is it? You know, you're not producing anything. And so all of those kind of messy studies that were going on. I mean, even the guy who was conducting the experiment started acting like a prison warder, and it was his girlfriend that had to pull the plug on it all because he was letting these students beat each other. They were going on a hunger strike and, you know, going mad. And any one of them could have walked out at any point in time, and none of them did. You know, it's crazy. And that
was all about roles.
That was just roles, just playing at roles. And the ones who had the uniforms on became brutal almost instantly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm.
Once people get into a position of power, I mean, all you need to do is do a psychological profile on somebody, and you'll know immediately if they're going to be a good leader or a terrible leader.
Mm.
You know, just by their actions in regards to other things, whether it be sharing or empathy or stuff like that.
Or even dealing with emissions from technologies. Part of that software study was the weather effects negative ions on the human body. And they figured that negative ions have different effects on somebody who's short and stocky. As to somebody who was tall and thin, they wanted to know what these effects were, you know, and so they expose people to negative ions. This is what I think happened to Larry Warren and Adrian Bastinza and Rendlesham and Careful Green. But so they were even, you know, like to kind of just down to optimizing working conditions from affecting them and debilitating them to actually being able to manage the level of ions against natural body rhythms where, say, your afternoon low, if they increase the positive ions, that you will not have that low because the ions will keep you more energized, that sort of thing. So it can manipulate you in all kinds of ways that, you know, you just won't even imagine, and that's silent and sneaky.
So was it affecting the adrenal gland or something? Or?
Well, it actually has a bioelectric effect on the cells because each of the cells has like an electrical coating, as it were.
Right.
And so it can actually change your metabolism. You know, and like Larry, several years later, had some hemorrhaging on his back. At the time, is where I believe that he was exposed to these ions, which is when he was told to walk 10 paces left and then back to the right in front of this object that had allegedly crashed from the sky. Why you would even ask anyone to do that in a UFO crash? But, you know, so anyway, so he did that. And one of the men there pat him on the back. Years later, his skin starts hemorrhaging. And I said to him, was it in the same place? And he said, yeah, but it was years later. No. These negative ions actually work their way through your body like an electrical current. So where this man was hitting, it's actually discharged. It's caused this reaction, but it's taken years for that damage to actually get to the skin in the, you know, in the form of this electrical current. And as a negative ion,
what was it, like a wireless?
It pulls out. It was just exposed to a heavily ionized area. So they're breathing it in, you know, taking it in by the skin. The whole lot, you know. So, and then they don't know what the long-term effects are, and that's why I think we sort of, like, keep this thing going. They can keep an eye on how ill everyone is, and every single one of them has had heart valve problems. You know, since that weekend.
So was he in some part of military behavioral?
Well, that's what I think it was, you know, but, you know, you have a different opinion. Larry thinks it was a bit of both. Thinks we're messing about with technology and something came through. I think it was all technology testing and, you know, psychological evaluations, yeah. And then they put him in an office for a few weeks, like, to keep an eye on him almost, you know. And doing, like, office work because he phoned his mum and told her. The UFO was, like, under... He's been shadowed, I think, but I think they're also keeping an eye on his health and seeing what, you know, what happened to him. He suffered with his eyes and stuff like that, but that was the brightness of the plasma discharge. But, yeah, that's what I think anyway. But so these, like, this is just another sort of way of manipulating a person's behavior because with controlling these negative and positive ions, you can actually stop people from having a natural biorhythm where they peak in energy and lull in energy during the day just by adjusting them. And they knew that in the 70s.
Oh, sure. I mean, they, any type of electromagnetic frequencies, stuff like that, you can really mess with people using that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of, I have this program that just made sounds. Like, ding, ding, ding. You know, they did it at different levels of frequencies and stuff. And I was in an open lab, and I had tech support people around me. And I put that on really low to where I'm sitting in the cube, and I couldn't hear it really. But subliminally, it started messing with everybody. You know, like certain tones would get people really agitated.
Yeah.
And then certain tones would calm people down. I messed with these people for like a week. It was hilarious. Until finally somebody come in and goes, do you hear that? And I'm like, what? And I'm hearing this noise, this high-pitched frequency or something. And it's pretty funny, and she busted me. But because I started laughing my ass off. And just with the, just with those little sounds, just under the normal what a person can hear, we're just driving people nuts, good and bad. I mean, like I said before, certain notes would everybody would be in a good mood, and then I play a different note, and then people are yelling at customers and.
Such a fun
yeah,
guy.
So, yeah, there are lots of ways to mess with people and to change their moods and that sort of thing. But the problem with it now, I mean, we can actually have people control another person. But the thing is, the tech needs to be miniaturized before it can be militarized. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Military, that's all R&D stuff. You know what I mean? They can't put that into practice right now.
Well, they start big, don't they? And they tweak and tweak and tweak until they've got tiny, you know.
What was that?
Say, for example, you know, I think that the object that Jim Pennison saw in the forest was basically a generator for invisible fencing, or to, you know, works on ultra low frequencies, the electromagnetic frequencies, to make people feel ill, scared, and then obviously there was the laser light, which if the light was broken, it would trigger the alarm, and I think that's what they were testing. Now, that has been miniaturized to the point of where they use it in robotic surgery. And it actually is an anti-gravitic object. And I found out I've kind of like reverse engineered it from looking at medical applications of this and then enlarged it in my mind for, you know, what, not just enlarged it in my mind, but with the tech description that I had in these documents, put the two together. And it was like, well, that is just a giant version of that. And now this is 30 years later, they're using it in medical applications. So
you know
it's
what?
Not impossible. Do you know what I mean?
I'll just defer to you for now on Bert Rendlesham, because I could get a rat's ass about Rendlesham Forest anymore.
Mm. Oh, I'm just sick of the people. It's fascinating, Ken. I'm just sick of the people that, you know, are just messing it up. And
yeah.
You know, it's such a fascinating and amazing, even if it's not a UFO ET event, is still really like, wow, and also horrible, because that was done to these people on purpose, and then they were made to believe all this stuff as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on in it there for me. But, you know, I don't believe it was E.T.
What,
nobody will believe me about, nobody will believe me that holograms existed back then.
I don't care. I don't want to see Tennyson's face or Burrow's face anymore. I don't want to see damn Nick Pope. Sasha, Nick Pope. If he's on TV, I got to mute it. He is on every show that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I turn around, there's Nick Pope, and one, he's a military analyst, and, you know, I like Nick. I've interviewed Nick. It was a fun interview. It's just annoying now that he's, my God, I just want to frickin' scream.
He's now calling himself the real-life Fox Mulder, or allowing himself to be called that. And every time he talks about something that he's looked at, he calls it a cold case file. He's like, it was never a hot case file, because according to you, they never investigated anything. So it was never open in the first place. And all he's doing is the same as everybody else. Well, we've all got access to him. All we're doing is looking at him and talking about him. But to him, he's Fox Mulder and his cold case files. It's like, get over yourself.
Well, he had to reinvent himself when he
defected,
because the MOD phone answerer person, which is basically what he was, stick
if
got
If you read those reports as well, they say things like, saw a white light. It was, I saw a light, it went up. And they weren't allowed to ask any questions. There was no criteria. There was no anything. Anything. Just wrote down what the person said.
Yeah, and filed away. That was his job.
It's not really hard, is it?
That was his job. He answered the phones for this little department. It was a place for people to call so they didn't bother anybody else.
No, that department costs £50,000 a year to run.
Yeah.
That's all. It's not, it wants some great big, woo, mysterious thing. You know what I mean? It was like Nick and a phone and maybe a supervisor.
Yeah, and a bunch of files. You know, and he's got his little template of stuff that he asks.
And he wasn't the only person to do it either, where are all the other real-life Fox Mulders? The one of his predecessors, you know what I mean?
Why no, I'm not trying to belittle what he did and the stuff that he's done a lot of good stuff, but I'm just sick of him, sick of his face, just sick of his, you know, sick of his voice. Mm-hmm. I hear it and I just want to, you know, punch myself in the face.
Yeah. Which I used to like him. I've even met him a few times. I've got drunk with him, you know what I mean? And it's just like, why did you have to do that? You turn coat. There's no need. He could have just gone to America and left everything nice over here. Now he had to mess it up with the PlayStation advert and then, you know, be so derogatory about everybody in England when he left, or about how jealous we all were of him. It's like, I'm not jealous of you. You're acting like a knob and we're calling you out on it. This is not jealousy. It's like, I'm actually quite frankly disgusted. Do you know?
Came here and he turned himself into the paranormal or weird high strangeness talking head. Anything from UFO shows, paranormal shows, shows about goofy science, shows about the apocalypse. There's fucking Nick Pope. Yeah.
He was even referred to in one of our tabloids as the world's leading space expert.
Oh, yeah, I've heard him called journalist and military analyst and, you know, he's not a military analyst. What the... he was not that.
Oh, my.
You know, he's a bright person, insightful person. You have issues with him for different reasons. I never saw the PlayStation advert or any of that stuff. I just know that he has, he's not quite as humble as he used to be. And, you know, his insights and everything are fine. It's just, you know, I'm sick of his face. Everywhere I look, there's freaking Nick Pope.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
well, I guess it could be worse. Be Sean David Morton or David Wilcox with his giant frickin' forehead.
Meow. Apparently there's a lot of brain in there.
You know, or I David Childress.
As well. you do know he's a reincarnation of Edgar Casey, don't you?
Yeah. And I get after a bunch of people that I had actually gotten them out of religion and to start looking at other things. And they went right from religion right to David Wilcox.
What's the difference?
Huh? They were like three Mormons.
Yeah, but I mean, the stuff that he's saying, it's all very kind of culty anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said he's... I went, no. That's not finding your own way. That's not, you know, you got to experience stuff to go down a real path. Don't go down someone else's path. Somebody, you know, they're slinging the same crap at you like religion was.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's so spiritual and like... Don't ever talk to me again.
Block, delete.
You know, but he's one of those guys, you know, that can, like David Greer and some of these others, that can talk well. They have great oratory skills, and people just hang on their every word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have great oratory skills, but people wince at my every word.
No, you don't. It's like talking to Ozzy sometimes when I'm...
Say that again.
Yeah, I'm not that great either. I'm just going to babble along through his show.
Well, I just know that no one knows anything for sure. And so I try and avoid those insiders do. And I know that people can sound quite egotistical. I'm just loud and hectic. But I can't do with ego. And there's far too much of that. And, you know, oh, we've talked about that so many times. But it just overwhelms me that it is always the same faces. You know. Even, you know, like Steve Pearce witnessed to Travis Walton being hit by a bottle of light. He's talking. None of the others talk. You know, Travis talks. He's apparently being attacked by people. And I'm like, why? He talks about it, the fire in the sky. So it's like, you're part of that. You know what I mean? You were in the van. Why is anybody like being mean? Do you know what I mean? It's like, whoa. People really are messed up.
That's just how they are, man. I mean, especially in that town.
I
live there and it's very closed-minded. You know what I mean? It's they got like three churches, and it's a little town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very conservative and closed-minded and stuff like that. And
yeah, but it's already widely accepted that that happened to Travis, and all the other people who've seen it and said they've seen it, but just don't talk about it anymore. That's all accepted. Now he's finally started talking. Not acceptable. And he was 17 years old when it happened.
Right.
It's a kid. And they've got animosity. I can't believe it.
Oh, and they just ganged up on him. I mean, you know, constantly being called a liar and murderer and, you know, where's the body and, you know, their minds are already made up. You know, he ran away.
He was scared. Yeah. And now, it sickens me. I mean, what is people's problem? You know what I mean? Why can't...
And you got people like Stan Romanek running around, and people are still, they are still buying his shtick.
I know. What does it take?
You know, does he have to have pictures of your kid? Before you,
Well, this is where we go back to that saying again, isn't it? It's easier to fool a person than to convince them that they've been fooled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one big mess.
That guy is just, you know, just a matter of time before it all came crumbling down. You know, and they would make up some good stories, like Stan would be abducted and then come back, and he, instead of his own clothes, he'd have a girl's nightgown on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You see, I know lots of abductees, and they, as a collective, and, you know, I'm talking a couple of hundred, they don't have as much going on between them as he does have in a week. You know what I mean? And I mean, yeah, it's just like... Can a man not sit down without being hit in the head with something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. No.
Well, he did it in his mailbox. Getting his mail, I got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, I don't condone that either.
See, people, and people just reacted to him with violence. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, that person that beat him up could have... you know, got all sorts of stuff in their closet, you know, that somebody kicked their ass for, you know?
Uh-huh. I'm hitting you because I'm perfect.
Yeah. You know, I don't condone that. I don't think that's, you know, he needs to have his day at court, but look, you got caught with child porn on your computer.
Yeah.
You know, and
he was hacked by the government guy. The government. Not some
don't even start
little
that
nerd or whatever. It was the government. And that's what sickens me about it. I've been hacked. Loads of people have been hacked. It's usually some spotty little nerd.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Stan Romanek is nobody. He's nobody to the government. Anything that he said or did has no relevance to anything of anybody in the government. They could give two shits about Stan Romanek, except that they were monitoring chat rooms, closed chat rooms, like 5 years ago, when they first stumbled upon Stan Romanek downloading and trading child pornography.
That was where there was 300 images involved.
Right. And since he's not, you know, producing it and that sort of thing, they build up cases where they just don't bust one person. They build up cases, and sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
You know, where they get the resources together, they get a list of names, IP addresses, whatever, and they just follow them around, watch what they do. And they hang themselves. And then when they're ready to pull the trigger, they pull the trigger and they go and it's usually a nationwide sweep. Sometimes it's worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, and they coordinate with Scotland Yard and Interpol, and, you know, they'll bust people in India and United States and Britain and,
well, when it all came out, I thought to my friend who works for, you know, our metropolitan police as a forensics investigator into child pornography, indecent images. He analyzes the images, classifies them. I just couldn't have had a better person that I know, you know, I get on really well with as well. I went straight to him and asked him, you know, is this possible? This is a hack, and, you know, when I gave him all the details that were out, that we, you know, that we knew that were true, and he was just like, no, this is, he's been caught several times, he's got to have had more than this amount of images, you know, it's going to be different dates, different sites, different things, you know, when something's dropped in, it, with a packet, is more obvious, you know, and the onus is on him to prove it was a hack and find it. Good luck with it. So that is not my name.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
You know, if it was a hack, good luck to that, because it's almost impossible, apparently.
Yeah, it is. Ted Stan Romanek is nobody. Mm. And even though he, you know, makes it out to be, he's somebody. He's some special starseed, you know.
Yeah.
He's a golden child.
Starseed is different, according to Audrey the alien that had a mid-afternoon conversation with me about a conference.
Yeah, you know, and his wife's, you know, right along with him. If you want to, did you listen to this show where I talked to Jason?
No, I heard all of it, which bit are you on about?
We get into this, and he talks about Stan and his stepdaughter at a conference, and it's really creepy.
Happy 4th.
Sitting on his knee, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, just sitting on his lap, dressed. Just real unfather-daughterly.
Yeah.
Goings on. You know, it's a stepdaughter, so, you know, who knows?
Well, hopefully Woody Allen can get away with it.
What's that?
I said, well, if Woody Allen can get away with it.
Oh, God, Woody Allen, Jesus. You know, and that's crazy, you know, somebody who's abusing his children, and he's famous, so he gets a pass.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at all the paedophiles are being busted out that are 30-year-old now. Half of them are dead. You know, all this stuff's now coming out about them. It's like somebody who had been keeping that under wraps had died, obviously, because all of this unraveled. And it's just absolutely.
Is that the guy at the BBC?
Well, politicians. It started off with the BBC, and it sent a ripple throughout all of TV personalities. And I said to Dave, you know, this is a massive smoke screen because this is political as well. That is a big distraction. You know, it's all horrific and all real, and he's exposing. But you just knew that there was this thing going on in the background that politicians were involved. It was absolutely massive and horrendous what they were doing. You know, and that's all coming out now. It's not like it's a new fad, is it?
No, I mean, and, you know, you got BBC covering up that child's guy. What's his name? Jimmy
Savile.
Oh, my God. He would go into meetings and brag about being with two 14-year-olds. Hey, meet Jimmy Savile or whatever. Yeah, and the kids would show up, and he would molest them.
Yeah. And my mum knew
him.
Can you
imagine?
Her 16-year-old friend was his girlfriend.
Boys and girls.
And this is now about 1968. And she said that they were all hanging around in Leeds, because that's where I'm from. Jimmy Savile lived there, hanging around this club. And she said they were a nightmare. There were just fans all over the place. You know, she had trouble with one famous DJ over here that was called Fluff. And Pauline, her friend, actually moved in with him. And I didn't know at the time, when she was telling me this years before, how young she was. But when all this came out, and I said to her, you know, because I thought she'd deny it, and she went, oh, yeah, he was a right dirty old bastard. And then told me all this, and, like, this friend, Pauline, was only 16, and I'm thinking, you know, I always thought she was, like, a grown-up in the 20s or whatever when all that was going on.
And all of the executives from the time that he started, you know, once he started bringing in all the money, was super famous, they started covering up for him. Making sure he had access to children.
Everybody. I'm telling you, he had something on everybody, and that's why he was so safe. Telling you that now. And he had a program here called Jim Will Fix It for kids fixing their dreams and what have you.
Yeah.
And Jim Will Fix It, I bet that was a theme. Throughout everything that he did, Jim fixed it for me. That was a saying, you know, dear Jim, can you fix it for me? And half of the kids that went on the show got molested.
Yeah, they did. You know, and he would say things to them, you know, shut the hell up. But anyway, guys, we got to go. And,
oh, my God, look at the time. Hey, it's better than looking at my laptop. Off and seeing it say 4:01.
What time is it there?
It's 2:00 now. This is when we would have been starting the show. And it was just like, I was just like death on wheels today.
All right, well, we will see everybody in a couple weeks.
On Monday. Right.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Jagamo fino anane. Jagamo finane. Look at my king all dressed in red. Aiko, aiko, ande. I bet you $5 he'll kill you there. Jagamo finane. Talking about henna, henna, henna.
playboy and your playboy sitting by the fire. My playboy to your playboy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about here now, here now, here now. Ico, Ico, Andy.